Once again, Jay, thank you for sharing. I'm so glad that God has used us to impact your life like that. It is amazing to be loved by the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And those who are committed to God's purpose for his people. It is great also to have Henry and Tammy here.
Amen.
I tell you, may God continue to bless them where they're at, but we miss y'all. We miss you, Harry. We miss both you and Tammy. Miss you guys being here. You know, some of you wasn't here when they were here when they said it in Brandon, but we did a lot of things at their home in Brandon, and it was amazing.
Yep.
And that's when Bailey and Max were like, yee-haw. Yeah. Probably like Noah's son over there. Probably like that high like that over there. But God has done amazing things in their lives, and they are a great example of a strong spiritual couple.
Amen.
God and everything. They have gone through a lot, faced a lot of challenges, but through it all, they have set an example of what faith looks like.
Yes.
When trials and challenges come your way. So great to have you guys here with us this morning. Please continue to keep hearing I and his family and Tammy in their prayers as they are mourning the loss of his stepfather and just being with his mom and everybody else there, guys. And I'm pretty sure they're going to give us an update as far as when funeral arrangements will be made. And if we can, let's try to be there to support the family, even if we just show up to be there. So,
amen.
Great to have those guys here. Great to have them. Guys, we're going to talk about treasuring righteousness. We're going to continue with the treasuring series. And it's so great, you know, that I'm grateful for the other brothers and sisters who lead their various churches and grateful for the ministers like me who come together to work together, to put a curriculum together. And it's so much so that you get inspired. I feel like the Spirit inspires you to begin to add to the curriculum is what I'm seeing. And so far, I've been inspired to add two of the things to the series, and this is one of them, Treasure and Righteousness. And so I think it's just great when the Spirit works through everybody to help us to serve the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
But we're going to talk about treasure and righteousness, and as we talk about that, I'm going to get you guys just to turn your Bible over to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, I'm going to read a couple of things here. And I will quote a couple of scriptures along the way that you don't necessarily have to turn to, but the one I'm telling you to turn to, we're going to park there for a little bit and read there. But anyway, righteous. It is defined as acting in accord with divine or moral laws. And you know, when I actually looked at the word, I don't know if you ever do this, I looked at the word righteousness. And of course, they say, well, look, we're just going to keep you righteous. We're going to bring you back to the core. You know, mm-hmm. Everything else is added onto it, but it comes from the word righteous. But righteous is by acting in accord with divine or moral laws. Mm-hmm. Unrighteous is not righteous or sinful or wicked. You know, every day you and I are faced with these two common realities of this world. Both of them seek to invade our personal space.
That's right.
The object of them both is to be the sole major influence in our lives. I quote Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be." Where is your heart today?
Come on.
What has your heart's content? Do you trust God with your heart? Or do you trust your heart? Mm. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is beyond cure."
Yes.
Who can understand it? Righteous is something to be practiced, not just something to be talked about.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, righteous behavior is a choice.
That's right.
Unrighteous behavior is a choice.
Come on.
Which behavior will you choose? Start over in Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, and some of us are very familiar with this. It says, "Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, 'Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat.' Jesus replied, 'And why do you break the command of God? For the sake of your tradition. For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is to devote it to God. They are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions.
Yes.
You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules or rules taught by men. You know, we like to look the part a lot of times instead of being the part.
Yeah.
You know, I reached out to a young man here lately and spent some time with him. And one of the things was, he shared with me about, he never had nobody to show him how to do things the right way, how to live life the right way, how to live in this society and be productive. And so, you know, we're talking, you know, and he calls me up and I'm trying to give him advice on what to do. And this whole conversation, his response is, can you just come and get me and just take me away from all this? And I was like, well, no, because running away is not going to solve the problem.
Right.
It's going to be there. I don't care what part of the earth you go to, it's going to be here.
Right.
You know, and one of the things that we talked about was he had recently had a bad accident, got hurt. And so he was mad at how the police handled him. And, you know, I'm like, it's all about what influences that you deal with is going to determine how you're going to respond to a situation. And so he gives me into a little more detail about the situation. He says, you know, well, somebody stole my wallet. That's why I got a warrant down in another state. I said, okay. You know, and then my license are suspended here, and I ain't got no insurance. I said, okay. But that officer had no right to just go through my wallet to try to find my ID. I understand. But the point I wanted to help him understand was that the way you responded, your behavior wasn't right. Because this officer had everything he needed to take you to jail if he wanted to. But he didn't take you to jail. He could just say, I don't care if you're having a gun or not. You know, sometimes when we are not thinking clearly or thinking right, we like to view everybody else as being wrong.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We buy into the negative and unrighteous influence in this world. We like to view everybody else as being wrong.
That's right.
You know, you and I cannot run from our problems. We just can't. Those who have came before us in this world will tell you, you can't run from your problems. They will walk you down every time.
Yes.
Your problem's not going to run after you. It's going to slowly walk you down because it's going to be there. You're going to have to deal with it. And you know, and we as people, we hate facing those problems.
That's right.
There's a lot of anxiety in having to face something. Yeah. There's a lot of nervousness because we realize we have no control of this. The only control that we have is that I've got to face it.
Yeah.
You know, but we must learn. We must face them, learn from them, and make every effort to correct the problem.
Yes.
To correct the wrong that has been done. I want you to imagine having dirty clothes that go and wash.
Come on.
That could be a problem.
Uh-huh.
They just pile up, they just pile up, they just pile up. And for some reason, you'll walk past those dirty clothes as if somebody else is going to wash them. Mm-hmm. And them clothes, like, we're still here, and the stench is getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you will realize this, I have no more clothes to put on. So what am I going to do? Am I going to ignore them? Or am I going to do what's right and say, you know what? God has given me the resources and the tools to clean my clothes up.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I have to drive and go to a laundromat down the road and wash it, or whether I have my own wash and dry, I'm going to have to make the decision to do what's right.
Right.
I'm going to have to make the decision to act right in this, to make sure that I have clean clothes to wear. You know, this is the same with our life. There are things that we've had to face, things we've had to clean up in our lives. God has given us the tools and the resources that we need to make them right.
Amen. Yep.
And a lot of those resources and tools, sometimes we have to deal with other people who may not be as righteous as we are.
That's right.
But still, we have the necessary tools to clean up, to correct, and to make right the things that need to be made right in our lives.
Yes.
Righteous behavior requires that you get right, do right, and stay right.
Yes.
Amen.
You guys can turn over, and I'm going to give you a couple of scripture terms too as we keep going, because now we're going to talk about righteous prayer. Yeah, there's such thing as a righteous prayer. But a couple of places to mark in your Bible, Proverbs 15. Another place to mark in your Bible, John 9, 31. The first one was Proverbs 15, 29, verse 29. Another one is John 9, 31. And the last one is 1 Peter 3, 12. And we're gonna stop it in Mark. But you know, besides having a righteous behavior, meaning doing what needs to be done to make the situation right, to live a life that is reflective of God, you got to have a righteous prayer life.
Come on.
Our prayer life is important to God. Did you ever think about that?
Yes.
We always think, oh, you just need to pray. It needs to be important to you. But did you ever think about that a prayer life is important to God?
Come on.
Why would God create prayer? Because God wants to hear from you. God's like, it'd be nice to hear from you. It'd be nice to hear what's all going on with you, how you're feeling, what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, just as a prayer life is important to God, it should be important to you too.
Amen. Amen.
God created this special communication tool for you and Him to commune with one another. Although He hears all prayers and sees all people, He specifically hears the prayers of the righteous only.
Amen.
Proverbs 15, 29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous."
Amen. Yes.
John 9, verse 31 says, "We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, God listens to him." 1 Peter 3, verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil."
Yep.
You know, me and the young man, we were talking. Jeremy, again, it's great. You know, we've been talking off and on, and he's really battling with God. He's really battling with just trying to do right. He is. He you know, I know his life, like, man, you're in that conflict. You're wrestling. You try to figure out how to beat God. You try to put God in a full Nelson, a figure four. He is really wrestling. And so, as we're talking about this, he whips up the scripture here. I'm going to read the scripture to you, Psalms 131. And one thing about sometimes you meet people, they tend to know some scriptures that they've kind of locked in their mind. That those are scriptures that they like to hold on to. Like, hey, this scripture here.
Yeah.
And so we're going back and forth. He's throwing scriptures. I'm like, oh man, we're playing a little back and forth. Let me throw this scripture at you. And so instead of throwing scripture about Adam, I said, okay, give it to me. This is what we got. And in Psalms 131, he said, look at it like this. And it says, first one says, "How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity."
I said, come on, that's all right.
So the statement he's trying to make to me is that, well, I'm God's people too. But I'm looking at him like, that's not true. You're not God's people. And I said, let me explain to you. And we're sitting at Starbucks. I said, why don't you look out here? Look at all these cars and everybody going around here. This is beautiful, ain't it? I said, do you know everybody out here that's riding up and down this road walking here? Everybody's not God's people. Not everybody is God's creation.
Come on. That's right.
But not everybody is God's people.
That's right.
I said, you got to understand that. And of course, he looks at me like, huh? Let's grab hold of this. Do you know that everybody that lives in the community here, we have Jackson, we have Flowood, we have Barron. Do you know every plate that says Hines County, that's right down in Rankin County, they're not Rankin County people because they live in Hines County. Mm-hmm. Just keeping it simple for them. I said, now they're able to go back and forth in Rankin County, They have to go back and forth into Madison County, but their residence is in Hinds County.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is where they pledge their allegiance to live, to support that community there, to pay their taxes in that community. Therefore, they're part of Hinds County. And so he looked bountiful for a little bit, but I had to explain to him, you can't take scripture like this and want to use that context to self-gratify you as if I'm right with you when you're not. And God made scripture clear to us that guess what? If you're going to do wicked, if you're going to be wicked deliberately, guess what? I will not hear your prayers. Mm. I will not listen to you.
Right.
God does not reward evil. Mm. Although evil has access to the same things in this world that you and I do, God will not hear the prayers of the evil.
That's right.
And when you and I are having a moment, we're probably a little older now, but younger, when we have a little moment and we feel like, I just want to get back at somebody. I want to do wrong. It's just where my heart is at. I'm battling right now. I want you to understand, God said, just so you know, since you're having an evil moment right now, wicked thoughts right now, your prayers are voided. I'm not hearing that prayer in that instant.
That's right.
Come on.
Don't think you'd be like, oh, well, I'm going to be evil right now. And then I'm going to be good. But God's going to still hear me where I'm doing evil. It don't work like that. God says, I'm listening to the prayer of a righteous. That means you're called to work on being righteous in all instances. Yeah. Even when you're battling evil thoughts. Even when you want to get at somebody. Even when you're like, man, it's then you got to battle to be more righteous than anything else.
That's right.
You know, one of the scriptures I love out of Matthew 12, I'm sorry, Matthew 12, 48, Luke 8, 19, 21, and Mark 3, 31, 35.
Okay,
they are
real quick.
Yeah,
slow it down.
That
was
like a
back it up.
Alright, Matthew 12, verse 48. Luke chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. And Mark 3, 31 through 35. They all say the same thing. They say, Jesus, your mother and your brother are outside looking for you.
Yep.
Jesus turns around and says, you want to know who my family is? Those who do the will of my Father.
Amen.
That ain't nothing but truth.
Amen.
Sometimes it's hard to accept, but that is true. Those who are doing the will of God, that's my family.
Yep.
That's right.
If you want to treasure righteousness, and you want to understand what righteousness is, you need to become a part of the family of God. Yes. Evil may prevail in the world and take hold of the temporary crown that this world has to offer, but it would never take hold of the eternal crown. No. For the eternal crown is reserved for the righteous.
That's right.
That's right.
As far as God is concerned, unrighteousness will always be denied. Unrighteous prayers will always go unanswered. You and I need to constantly practice presenting ourselves before God and our time of prayer with Him as being righteous. James 5:16. You know this well.
Come on.
Says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective.
Yes.
Because when we practice righteously and we pray righteously, we need to understand that our prayers are powerful and effective.
That's right.
There's power when we talk to God. Now, sometimes when we're going through something, we may feel like there's no power. But there's power in it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's moving the heart of God.
Right.
And God is listening. And I love it. Sometimes God will say yes now. Sometimes he says no, not right now. Sometimes he says no, not at all, because it's not what's best for you.
That's right.
That's right.
Treasure righteousness that you may receive a righteous reward.
Yes.
Finally, in closing, you can turn over to Revelations 19, 7 through 8. So we're talking about having a righteous behavior, a righteous prayer life, And we got to understand that God only hears the prayer of a righteous. So next time you're talking to somebody and they're saying something, you kind of know like your life is not adding up, you're going to understand where they are. And if somebody tells you, well, no, God hears everybody's prayer. God tells you different. Jesus said, no, it don't work like that. But we want to encourage people to get right.
Come on.
Get right.
Get right.
And stay right with God. You know, Revelation 19, it's just starting verse 7, but I'm going to share something before I start reading. It says, let's face it, rewards are rewarding. To receive a reward for a job well done is a boost to the spirit.
Yes.
Encouragement to the soul and a confirmation of acceptance. Therefore, I do not try to be righteous, but instead I practice righteousness every day.
Amen.
It's like being an employee on a job. You know, would you want an employee who is trying to be good or one who is actually practicing doing good? Which one would you want?
Amen.
You know, Revelation 19, verse 7, love this. It says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready.
Amen.
Verse 8, fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous act of God's holy.
Yes, sir.
You know, when I think about fine linen, I think about when they first started coming up with them commercials, they gave all them little dry sheets, and they said, game. And they do like, I'm like, that's what fine linen reminds of. And then they came and said, you know what? Game. Now in linen scent. Then they went a step farther. Febreze fresh. That's what I think about fine linen.
Come on.
Fine linen. Who doesn't want to be in fine linen? Who doesn't like clean clothes? I tell you, man, when the dirty clothes pile up, let's get it to the washer. Let's clean it up.
Come on.
Not only did they come up with the dry sheets, but now they got these little balls that you can pour in your washer. I got a couple of those things that you think are nice. I like this.
Yep.
You can do a double scent to make your clothes smell fresh and look good. You know, our righteous acts will testify about us.
That's right.
That's what they're going to do. Our righteous acts are going to testify back about us. They will speak to our character. What does your character, or I should say, what does your righteous acts say about you today? God's going to look at when you prayed, were you being righteous? God's going to look at when you dealt with other people, were you being righteous?
That's right.
Come on.
God's going to look at when you go shopping, were you being righteous?
Wow.
He's going to look at all that. And I'm going to tell you, when you allow the Holy Spirit to work into you and you're striving to be righteous, it will convict you on the smallest things.
Yeah.
When me and Sharice left the baby shower today, we went to Progress because she was starting this new diet thing, this keto thing. I said, hey, I'll go with you. I'll do it. No problem. We'll do it. And so we're buying an onion, but the onion didn't have a bag on. But I did my due diligence to look at the price. Realized it wasn't an organic onion. Realized it was $1.79. I said, don't forget that price. Get to the front. I said, can you help me find this onion? And of course, you know, I appreciate the ladies who serve in the front. They're doing the best they can do with a lot of traffic that comes through all the time. And I said, I can tell you the price. $1.79. It's organic. She said, okay, thank you. That made me feel good.
Come on.
Because that was me doing right.
Yeah,
that's right. Come on.
I could easily say, well, no, that's not organic. That's 69 cents. I could easily. That's the other side. Like, I want to cut corners and save costs.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, God always reminds us. God said, yeah, you may save and cut costs now, but at the expense of what in the future.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Amen. A lot of times when I go to the grocery store, especially in the vegetable aisle, sometimes they don't have the prices on. Them little stickers fall off.
Yep.
But I make it my priority to say, you know what? Let me look at this price. Remember this price.
Yep.
Because I want to make sure I do it right at the front. And you know, you may think, well, oh, but you know, they make all this money doing that. Are they really doing that? You know, do they really deserve it? Are they really going to miss it? That's feeding somebody, family, some way.
Yep.
Somewhere.
Yep.
It's doing that. But one thing I do love about Kroger's is this. If you go to Kroger's and you need a free bottle of water, ask them. They got a freezer dedicated for free water. Go grab one right out of it. Like faithful. That's their way of giving back. Doing something else like. That's amazing. You have to want to do right at all times.
That's right.
In all situations.
Yes.
In all instances.
Come on, Sydney.
Are you hungry to put on the fine linen that is bright and clean?
That's right.
We always are excited about the reward that awaits us. But isn't it good to know that God said, oh, you're going to look good. God said, when you come in, and man, we're going to reward you. God said, a part of your reward is that you're going to look good. Who doesn't like to look good? Smell good? Clean linen. That's just part of your reward. You know, I was watching the show in closing, Little House on the Prairie. Has a lot of great values. And so Charles works at the mill, and the mill, of course, they can't afford to pay him no more, and so Charles has got to find work. And all this stems from, well, actually got to get some money. All this stems from they owe a debt to the Olsen's family. And there's something to test your righteousness. If you live in town, then the Olsen's family was part of the community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, you have some boy needs. You have some boy needs, I'm telling you. That's a test there. But anyway, Miss Olsen was very mean to them and said things, so they're like, okay, we're not going to deal with this. So Charles goes to see this guy and said, hey, I hear you've been trying to build like this little trench and build this dam to get water out of this lake. And the guy said, well, you know, I can't do it right now. It's going to be the job of two people. And Charles said, well, at least let me try. And going back and forth. But Charles is determined to say, look, I know what my family needs, but at least let me try. And Charles said, if I can't do it, you don't have to pay me. I thought, wow, that's motivation. So anyway, he goes. He works, hard. His daughter Mary goes works for another lady in the community, sewing and everything. They're working hard. Laura goes gets her schoolwork, brings her on afternoon. Mary does that. So everybody's working, pulling their load. And one of the things that I thought was great about the show was that the man comes out and he looks at Charles and he says, wow. He said, see, you weren't able to get but so far and everything. And Charles said, you know, I still got time. He said, well, I don't think you'd be able to do it. And the way it's the way that they sell the little part of the show that he says, but let me get in and help you. He says, because I didn't think you would make it this far. So the owner gets in and helps Charles finish up the trench on his land for the dam so the water will come through.
Come on.
I thought that's amazing. Mary, the older daughter, did so much that the older woman not only paid Mary what she owed her, but gave her an extra 25 cents. I thought, wow, that's amazing. Charles was so determined to do right and make things right that I looked at the many rewards that he got. Not only did he get the trench, but he impressed the owner so much that the owner said, because you put so much effort in to making this right and doing this right, he decided to help him. Because Mary went the extra mile and sewing all these dresses, that owner gave her an extra 25 cents. When Charles was counting the money at the table and everything, he says, guess what? He said, we got enough to pay our debt off. We got enough to get some coffee, a little tobacco, and a little white sugar.
Hey, man.
Not white sugar. But in the end, because he made every effort to make it right with the Olsen's family, the last part, he's walking out on the porch, and Nell stands beside him, and Nell said, you know what, Charles? You know, we may have a lot of money, but if you ask me, you're the richest man that want to grow. Mm-hmm. And Charles said, I know I am.
Yeah. Amen.
The family pulled together to make a debt right.
Amen. You grab your hanky and wipe away a tear.
Right? That's it. You know, righteous behavior yields a righteous reward.
That's right.
It just does. Righteous behavior yields a righteous reward. Righteous reward will uplift the spirit and encourage the soul.
Yes.
And if you and I, for the rest of our time on this earth, fight to be right in our behavior, fight to be right in our prayer, you and I will find ourselves in fine, clean linen
Amen.
Someday.
Amen.
Amen, guys. Glory be to God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.